the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
That's both of us right here. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, having some fun on and off the air. We welcome you back. Another edition of the Bucket Strategy Investing Program. What are we, seventh grade? Knock it off, will you please? It is Bucket Strategy Investing Program. Professionalism all day long. Your source for the best in money advice. And I do mean that. You should know that by now. Brain Trust, standing by, ready to talk to you about your money. I'm Johnny Dean. Professor Rick Plum joins me once again from Lucia Capital Group. We're going to get started this hour with a discussion on managing risk in retirement. Fairly self-explanatory, but it does need some additional information. You need some additional information here. The strategies that you used when you were in your 30s and your 40s, maybe even your 50s, I don't know, should not be the same ones that you use once you've retired. You face different risks once you've retired. I think you're aware of that. The accumulation phase of life, that's between the 20s, you know, and retirement, 30s and all that. The accumulation phase is quite different from what we call the distribution phase of retirement. Decumulation, whatever you want to call it. How you approach risk management is also very different at that stage. So we'll have some strategies can help you manage risk during your retirement years. That's coming up with Professor Rick Plum. Phone lines all open right now. Give us a call, 877-PLANNER. That's 877-752-6637. Call us with your money questions. Every line is open right now, so your chance to call in is right now, 877-PLANNER. Brain Trust standing by. You can also email us via wealthed.com. That, of course, is your source for all the topics we talk about on the show. Just look for the Find Your Answer link near the top of the page. Click that. Send it to us, and we'll read your emails on the air. Now, you want to get in touch with Professor Plum or anyone here at Lucia Capital Group, our number off the air, 800-644-1150. Your financial plan, as you should know, should be tailored to suit your individual goals, your needs, which is why you need to speak with a Brain Trust advisor from Lucia Capital Group. They will devise a plan that works for you. You know, they know, we all know. No two situations are alike. Find out what the advisors at Lucia Capital Group can do for you. 800-644-1150. And we do thank them for sponsoring this hour of the program, as they always do, bringing us Professor Plum. 877-PLANNER. Lines open right now. 877-PLANNER, whatever money question that you had. A lot of topics from different calls this week so far. And in fact, some of those topics left over we're going to cover probably in the second hour today as we get to some unfinished business. But talking about risks here, Professor Plum, I mean, would you say, because you meet a lot of people in retirement, especially people who have just started in retirement, I mean, are people really afraid of retirement in some ways because of the risks?
I don't know if afraid is the right word. Unsure, very.
Okay.
A little bit concerned. I mean, I don't think afraid or scared. I mean, there are some people that realize when they get there, they are woefully unprepared, and they are, in many cases, scared. But the majority of people are just very uncertain, and that transition time from receiving a paycheck while you're working to receiving a distribution from your portfolio when you're retired is, and for many people, a very anxious one because they don't know how it's going to work. They're not used to having money coming out of their portfolio, and now they're starting to watch the market a lot more. When they were accumulating money, they didn't seem to care too much about the market's ups or downs because they knew that whatever was in there, they had 10, 15, 20 years before they needed it. What the heck, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now that matters. That sequence of returns, as we call it, the initial happenings in the market over the next 3 to 5 years while you're taking money out of the portfolio, getting used to retirement, has a big impact on what you're going to do for the rest of your life. At least it can if you don't have, you know, the right aspects, right plan in place. So people do become very anxious, but they also are looking at all the different types of risks. One risk, as we've heard over and over again, is this retirement income crisis that we have in retirement, is that we haven't saved enough money. So people are worried, have they saved enough money? Well, what does that actually mean? They don't really know how to quantify that. But there are other risks, other than, unfortunately, just outliving your money in a normal retirement. There are the risks of chronic healthcare issues. There are the risks of unexpected issues. One of the bigger unexpected issues that I see that has a very devastating effect on an individual's or a couple's retirement is the continuation of funding children.
Yeah, do you see that a lot? Do you find people who come in and they say, you know, I've got a decent sized portfolio.
It's usually after the fact. It's usually after they retired. They retire at 64, 65, 66, and they've got everything going for them. They've saved plenty of money. Everything's looking good. And then 3 or 4 years later, you know, reviewing with people, talking about how things are going, how's the income feeling? Well, the income's getting really tight. What? You had plenty of money before. How come the income's? Well, we're paying our daughter's mortgage, our son's mortgage. Got to take care of the grandkids, and you know, so and so they're out of work or they don't like their job, so they quit, and so we're covering their mortgage payment for them, so they don't have to move or anything. They don't have to downsize their house. And it's like, and they're spending $15,000, $20,000, $25,000 a year to take care of the kids, to make sure the kids stay in the big house.
Yeah,
not the big house. The larger residence.
So they're covering their mortgages.
And so all of a sudden, where they had a reasonable amount of money for retirement and plenty of time and effort, you know, money to do the things they wanted to, now they're running out of money. And their distribution rate, which is one, you know, factor for determining whether or not you have a viable retirement plan or not, went from a 4 or 5% distribution to an 8 or 9 or 10% distribution. And so that's it's just not viable. That's going to crash and burn in the not too distant future unless you're already 105 years old. So unfortunately, unexpected issues that are either things you can't say no to or won't say no to have a very large effect. So in many things like the health insurance, the long-term care, there are ways to try to ensure that earlier in the retirement at a cost that hopefully will be less than the ultimate cost of the issue. Things like kids, though, there's no way to insure on that.
Well, you can't. I mean, the only way to do it is that's really up to the individual.
Somebody's got to cut back.
Somebody's going to have to say, well, we can't do that.
Or either you have to cut back,
yeah,
or maybe the kids have to cut back while they're going through their hard times. Most people have gone through hard times in their life. Most people have had to cut back at times. Either they started with very hard times, you know, with, you know, barely 2 pennies to rub together, let alone 2 nickels to rub together. And now they've been able to eke out a reasonable and have a nice retirement. Or, you know, sometime during their life, they had a transition where they had to, you know, cut back and maybe not go out to dinner and things. I mean, you've talked about, you asked, have I seen this very often? I do see it from time to time where people are funding their kids. And the kids are still going out to dinner. The kids are still, you know, having, you know, a good time. The grandkids are still going to all the different extracurricular activities, traveling, doing all these other things. And mom and dad, the ones that are in retirement, who had a good retirement, are funding it all. But the kids out of work. You know, it's like there's got to be some give and take here when it's really crippling the retiree who has no chance of recovery.
No, and that's a choice people make. And I think one of the risks, and there are several that I've come up with here, one of the risks that really seems to be out of the control for some people, something that they worry about more than anything else, would be market risk. Because, you know, you have people who say, well, I'm retired. What am I going to do if all of a sudden the market takes a dive 2 weeks after I decide that I'm going to hang it all up?
But see, the reason I didn't bring up market risk is market risk is the easiest one mm-hmm. to manage throughout your retirement years. It's something we understand. We don't know how much it's going to be, when it's going to be. We just know that there will be market volatility. That's the one guarantee that we can say about the stock market, bond market, real estate market, pick your investment market. There's going to be volatility. When is it going to go up? When is it going to go down? That we cannot tell. But we know there's going to be volatility. So we have to create strategies, and creating strategies to either use the volatility to our advantage, long-term ongoing systematic investment plans, or protect against that volatility when we're retired, not having the money I need to spend in the next 5-10 years in the market at all, or something very low on the side of it. Those are the easiest ones to avoid. Those are known. We know that's going to happen. That is, when you know something's going to happen, if you still get caught by it, that's your fault. The problem is when you don't know what's going to happen. Health issue, way too soon. I mean, yes, we understand that if we're 95 years old, we're probably going to have some health issues. 65, we don't know that it's going to be a devastating health issue right away. Usually it takes a little longer than that. Unexpected, unforeseen issues are the biggest risk to retirement. Not the volatility of the market.
Well, here's one, and we'll talk more about this after the break, but here's one that you expect one of you is going to have, most likely, loss of a spouse. Question is, when is that going to happen? You don't expect it to happen at, say, age 63, 64, unless...
Earlier.
For the most part, you don't see it happening. The loss of a spouse can affect, oftentimes, especially if there's a pension involved.
But again, those are things that you can predict. Maybe not with when, but you can look at it and say, what if this person passes away, what's going to happen? How do we ensure, get around, adjust? That's a known. I mean, you're going to die. I'm sorry breaking this to you. You're going to die someday. It's going to happen.
The problem comes, of course, you don't know if it's going to be tomorrow or 30 years from tomorrow.
And you look at what happens if. But those are all very rational what ifs.
Okay, so we got some what ifs. We'll bring those up. But phone calls coming up, 877-PLANNER. We got lines open. You can ask your money question right now, 877-PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. It's Bucket Strategy Investing. Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, standing by to take your calls. 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. We're going to tell you in a little while where you can meet the Brain Trust. That's right, in person. Many of you already know about this because many of you have signed up for one of the workshops. We'll tell you more about that coming up. So get your pens and pencils ready. But get your dialing finger ready right now because we got lines open. 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. Whatever money issue you have. We still have some stuff to talk about on these required minimum distributions. If we can get to that this hour, fine. But whatever is on your mind from a financial standpoint, you call now and talk to us about it. 877-752-6637. Talking a little bit about about retirement risks. One of them, Professor Plum, I'm just going to run down these. You said planning for risks. And here are some that I came up with. And I honestly think, as you mentioned, planning around them, the what ifs, you could probably make a case for each one of these being somewhat solvable. I mentioned market risk. What's the best way to dance around that?
Time
and a strategy, I would say.
I mean, a strategy for understanding where your cash flow is going to come from in the next 5 to 10 years versus what happens in the market. Because if you're relying on the market to provide you your cash flow over the next year, 2, 3, 4, 5, you're asking for trouble.
Yeah. So the idea is to set aside, like we talk about all the time, set aside 5, 6, 7 years. 7 is good. Worth of what we call guaranteed type of income that you can draw off of, drawing that all the way down to allow the market to do what it needs, which is time.
Either guaranteed, low volatility. You can even, you know, we talk about buckets of money in time horizons. You can even bucketize this individual bucket.
Yeah, but you're still not drawing from the one you're actually drawing from is the guarantee.
The one you're drawing from for the next year or two is safe.
Yeah.
Like a cash account, money market. And yes, it's not earning very much. But the risk of not earning a lot over the next year is nowhere near as bad as the risk of losing principal over the next year, which is a very possible issue if you have it in the market.
So what do you do then? Market risk is one, and we could do a whole show on that one, by the way, because we have strategies that help you get around that. Forced retirement. Here's another risk that people don't often plan for, but it can be. You're in your 60s, you plan on working until you're 70 or until full retirement age or something, 65, maybe till your pension kicks in. All of a sudden, you're 61, they said that's it, you're done, and you're out.
Well, forced retirement almost always involves some form of an adjustment. Adjustment to where you're living, an adjustment to what you're going to spend, adjustment to something in your life, because it's not everybody that is working because they want to work and they're financially independent, although we do see this from time to time where we talk to individuals, instead of talking to them about their retirement date, we talk to them about their financial independence date. And becoming financially independent is the goal, not quitting work. They want to find out a point in time where they are financially independent. The job is not the driving force of their income. Now, they may still want to keep working. They may want to do it for many other reasons. In fact, they may want to keep doing it for the money, as well as the social interaction and everything else that gives them. But they know that if they had a bad day or something happened and they had to or wanted to walk away from it all, they're fine. They're financially independent. But a lot of people aren't financially independent when they have to give up their jobs, their ability to earn an income. And it may not be their health that puts them down. It may be the job itself goes away. It may be that their spouse requires care and they can no longer do the work they were doing before because it took too much time away from the house. So there are lots of reasons why people will leave the workforce before they really want to from a financial standpoint. And unfortunately, in every one of those cases, it's going to require some adjustment, a change in the way they do things.
Are you supposed to plan for this on the chance that it's going to happen? I mean,
well, it depends on where you are. You typically are not planning for it very much at the age of 30, 40 years of age, other than having an emergency fund for a long enough period of time that you can get to a new job. Also making sure that you have adequate disability insurance so that if something takes your job away from you because you're disabled, that you have income coming in. Maybe it's not the ideal situation, but at least you have something to cover the bills and things of that nature. But as you get closer to the expected retirement, and I don't mean that a week away, 3 weeks, a month away, a year away, as you get in within a decade or so of retirement, where losing a job, where it's going to be, it's tough. I mean, if you lose a job, it's hard to get another job. I understand that. But it's a lot harder for somebody who's 58, 60, 62 years of age who was making pretty good money to lose a job and then pick up again right where they left off at another spot. I mean, it just doesn't happen. They don't want to hire 62-year-olds, 63-year-olds and pay them a lot of money when they can hire a 35-year-old and pay them a lot less money and get similar work results out of them. So it's difficult for seniors to be able to go back to work in other areas.
When you say that, you're speaking from the company's point of view. That's not to say that a 35-year-old can do what a 60-year-old
can. I'm not saying that, but the company looks at it like they can.
That's exactly how they look at it, and then they oftentimes get results that are subpar.
And anybody out there listening that is or watching who's gone through this and tried to find a new job at 62, 63 knows exactly what I'm talking about. And it's not an easy transition. And unfortunately, in many cases, you have to accept a lower paying position. So again, you're either not saving as much or you're actually pulling money out of the portfolio to subsidize what you're doing for the next X number of years.
877-PLANNER, if you've got questions, 877-PLANNER, any money questions, lines are open right here on Bucket Strategy Investing. Okay, so what happens sometimes when you're forced into retirement? You can't find another job. It just isn't working for you at age, call it age 60, 61. You not only have the problem of income, you've also got health care expenses that are now your responsibility.
We see a lot of people that continue working until 65 just so they don't have to deal with the healthcare thing. Once they get to 65, they can sign up for Medicare, which, although not free, gives a nice coverage.
Sure.
Helps a lot, and you typically don't have to spend as much money as you would for a personal policy when you're 61, 62 years of age. So we see that quite often where health insurance is the big key, but what if you are in a situation where you don't have a choice? You got to have to get some healthcare. Now, how you go about doing it depends on other factors in life. We've seen a lot of people who will live off of personal money for 2, 3, 4 years rather than taking IRA distributions or doing conversions so that they can qualify for the subsidized Obamacare-type Affordable Care Act health insurance. And then once they get to 65, then they'll switch around, take the Medicare, and start living on the IRAs and have a bigger income. Don't know if that was the way it was supposed to be designed, but that's what's out there. If you give them an opportunity, people will take advantage of certain situations.
Sure.
But that's one thing people have done to try to cover that health care shortfall. But in many respects, people do that at their own spending detriment, where they say, well, I can't really go out and do the vacations and everything else because I'll run out of my personal money between now and 65. I've got to make this $100,000, $200,000 last for the next 4 or 5 years, whatever it is. So I can't spend more than $20,000, $30,000 a year out of it, or else I won't get my health care, or I'll have to pay for my own health care. And so they take a cut in their lifestyle for the next 3 or 4 years until they get to it, and then they can go back up on their... And unfortunately, for some people, that's not going to do a very good job. So that's where, unfortunately, worst-case planning is done. You have to look at it as, okay, I'm 5 years out from retirement, 8 years out from retirement. What if something happened? That's why you don't wait till the last minute to create your buckets plan.
Yeah, and in fact, as Professor said, one of the reasons some people put off retiring until age 65 is because of the healthcare costs. I know a couple people myself who could probably retire at age 55, but the cost of insuring a family, or just a husband and wife in this case, are astronomical. So they said, I'm just going to keep working. Okay, more coming up. Lines open. Your money questions when we return. 877-PLANNER. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. We're here answering your questions as we do every day on this program. If you have any money questions at all, any questions about strategy or whatever we may have talked about so far today, or any other day for that matter, you give us a call at our open lines, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Should remind you, too, that there are more workshops still to come. Professor Plum gearing up for one this weekend, as a matter of fact. That's going to be coming up in Phoenix, Arizona. That's at 9 o'clock in the morning this Saturday. Scottsdale, Phoenix, you know, right around in that area. Saturday, March 12th. There's still some room. So if you want to sign up, you go to wealthed.com, our website. You can call us here too. But wealthed.com at the live events tab. Click on that. Say you're coming. Tell us how many people. And that's it. No charge, nothing. Just bring your money questions. So this Saturday in Phoenix. After that, a week from Saturday, Portland, Oregon. And then Houston, Texas, a couple of weeks after that, April 9th. So Phoenix, Portland, and Houston, those are the next three. After that, you'll find the Brain Trust, I'm sure, in Northern California and a couple of other places. If you'd like to see the Brain Trust wherever you happen to be watching or listening, you just give us a call or email us at wealthed.com. Tell us, hey, come on to my house, is what we say. And if the food is good and the temperature is just right, because Plum can't be cold or hot. we'll be there. We'll do our best to be there. Maybe not necessarily in the spring, you know, season, but in the fall, we'll work on it. Get your money questions answered. Really, it's all about retirement income strategies. This is what we talk about in this program. How to make sure you don't run out of money. These are some of the retirement risks, as a matter of fact, Professor Plum, that are right up a lot of people's wheelhouse. I mean, you know, the biggest fear among most retirees is, how am I going to make my money last when I don't know how long I'm going to last?
Well, that's a big issue. Now, so hopefully you can't tell me how long you're going to last. When we somewhat joke about it. It's like, let's say when people ask, when's the best time to take your Social Security? The first question is, well, when are you going to die? And I dread the day that somebody actually can give me the date.
Because that's not good. 3 years and 9 months from now.
The doctor said this. It's like, oh, exactly. God. I mean, yeah. I don't know what I'm going to say when that happens. So, I mean, it is an open-ended question. So we want to make sure. The other person that says, I want my, you know, basically, I want the last check I write to the undertaker to bounce. It's
right.
Like,
yes.
Okay, fine, but tell me when you're going to write the check, and we can spend all the money between now and then. So it is an open-ended question. It is an issue that we don't want to run out of money before we run out of time, but when are we going to run out of time?
Well, that's it. And you know, if you're married especially, that one of you is more than likely going to go first. There are times when you both go together. That's a whole different story.
Probably less likely than one leaving a surviving spouse
for
a while.
Yes, more often than not, you're going to one of the spouses is going to survive the other. And so that's a little bit easier to plan for. But Professor Plum, you got things like pensions.
Yep.
You know, you have.
And that's where pension options, Social Security options. When to take Social Security. That's why we spend time on those issues. When to take Social Security is a big question, because that's the foundation for not just your, you know, joint life, you know, together, but a survivor's life expectancy.
Right,
where are they
going to
get their income? Pension options.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of us look at our pensions, you know, as a matter of, okay, if I retire, I'm going to get $3,000 a month for my pension. But if I need to provide something for my spouse, if I die too soon, I'm only going to get $2,500. But I don't want to take that $500 haircut. I want the $3,000. Well, you better have saved enough other assets outside of what you're doing, or have a life insurance policy in place to replace the lost income if you choose something that provides less than what the spouse needs from that pension.
Okay, let's talk about those two. You have a pension, you have Social Security. Not everybody has pensions, but many, if not most, have Social Security. So let's start with the pension options. What normally happens on a pension? As I understand it, for pension options, the one that you're defaulted to is the one where both you and your spouse, if you're married, are going to receive what's a joint survivor.
Assuming that we're talking about a married couple, the default option is a joint and survivor with a 50% option to the spouse, meaning that if my pension is going to be $2,500 a month while I'm alive, and I die too soon, my spouse will get 50% of that number, $1,250, going forward. There are other options. I can do a joint and 100% survivor, which means that the pension will be the same whether either of us is alive. But in my hypothetical example of $3,000 for my life, $2,500 for a joint and 50% survivor, a joint and 100% survivor may be $2,100, $2,200, or some other number. And that's the number that will continue for the rest of both of our lives. There's lots of different ways to look at that. And one of them is worst case planning. If I died, and the other side of this, I'll give before I get into the planning, is it's an irrevocable election. Once you make your choice and you start into your retirement, that's it. You can't change your mind. Now, some options or some pensions do offer what they call pop-up options, but that's not the majority of them. Basically, once it happens, it's a done deal. And so we have to look at it. And now we step back and say, okay, if I died, and worst case scenario be I died, about a week after I made my irrevocable election to receive the pension that I'm going to receive. If I chose the life-only option, will that completely devastate my spouse's retirement?
Because that check will go away once you do.
In that respect. So how much of my check do I need to leave for my spouse in the event I check out too soon? So we have to look at what other assets are there, what incomes the spouse may have, and what kind of a retirement survivor life do we want them, do they want to have going forward? I've met some people where they don't need to leave anything of the pension, because they've saved up a ton of money, or the spouse that we're talking about has a bigger pension than you do. And so your pension is the one that we could take joint life. Now, we also have to look at what are the odds. You're 75 or 65-year-old and your spouse is 45. Mm-hmm. You're probably going to need to leave something. Flip it around the other way. You're just getting ready to retire. You're 65 and your spouse is 85. It's unlikely that you need to take a survivor option in those areas, but they're very important, because we want to make sure that the survivor is cared for, at least in some manner that is agreeable between the two parties to go forward. Also remember that if you are taking something other or less than the 50% joint and survivor option, a zero option to the spouse, you got to get your spouse to sign off on that. That's okay, that they're not going to get anything if you die. So it's all about trying to plan and see what do we have to provide. And now, once we've decided that we do or do not have to provide for the spouse, then we can play with the other options. What do we want to do? What are the likely occurrences, going back to the health and odds of that nature? The other options that come into play are lump sum. Should you consider a lump sum option? And that, again, goes back to your planning process. What does the lump sum look like compared to the monthly payment? Again, which choice do you want to use? 100% life joint and survivor option, where the pension continues for both of your lives, just one life. So how do you compare it? You have to first decide which option makes the most sense. Once you decide which option makes the most sense, then you compare the lump sum. Can I create that same income from this lump sum under fairly conservative assumptions during the expected or even a little bit longer than expected life expectancy? If I can, then the lump sum makes some sense. If I can't, like California teachers, their lump sum is not going to do very good unless they are terminal and have no beneficiary, take the monthly pension.
Yeah, that's really a math question right there that your advisor should probably be able to help you out with.
It's a math question once you've gone through the options and you decided,
yes,
this is what I'm comparing mm-hmm. against. Because unless you know what you're comparing it against, it doesn't work very well. I mean, comparing against just the life only doesn't make sense if that was never going to be the option you're going to take to begin with.
Now, there are those who there are ways to do this where you can take a 100% with a zero survivor option.
Right.
And which means that when you're gone, your spouse
survivor
doesn't
gets
get
nothing
anything
of your pension.
But there are ways to work things through, but say, life insurance.
Generally, those have to be put in place before you get to your retirement, though. It's very difficult to make those numbers work when you're faced with the decision today. I'm 65 years old, I'm retiring, and I have a choice of my pensions. Now I'm going to look at getting a life insurance policy to provide for my spouse.
Because of your age?
Because of my age and the cost of what's doing. It's generally better to do the life insurance option 5 to 10 years ahead of when you retire, so you can pay for quite a bit of it, if not as much as you can, before you get to retirement, so that you use what in most people's working history are the highest earning years mm-hmm. to pay for your retirement needs, rather than taking a cut and pay, another cut and pay from a premium standpoint when you ultimately do retire. So again, it revolves back to planning ahead of time. you know, if you started at 25 and you saved a ton of money every year, and you've got just a bazillion dollars in your bank account, you don't need to make these different decisions. But if you are like the rest of us and you're trying to make use of the limited resources that you've been able to acquire over the years, and limited can be anywhere from $50,000 to, I've seen people that thought their $5 million was limited. It's just a matter of where you sit in your life and how you're doing things. But planning is the key.
Now, you're talking about planning. I mean, there's some people who don't really even think about this until a year or two before they're retired or just before they're retired.
And
probably better to do it sooner than that.
Well, the problem with doing it a year before retirement or at retirement is, what if you're wrong? What if you don't have the resources? The problem at that point becomes, now I am forced into a decision that I may not want to make. I have to take the lower 100% joint and survivor option during our joint lives because I have no other option. I'm not healthy enough to get insurance, and we haven't saved enough money any other way, and so I have to. I don't have the option, the luxury of picking and choosing. I have to do this.
So you got those pension options, but the other option is, what do you do with your Social Security? So when we come back, we'll talk about that. If you have questions on this or anything else, we do have open lines right now, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. It is Buckett Strategy Investing. We're all going to get there eventually, at least that's the hope. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, Buckett Strategy Investing. Another hour is just ahead of this program, so if you've got questions, hey, we got open lines right now. Give us a call. Room on the phones, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. Coming up next hour, a lot of things to talk about, some more stuff on this on these RMDs, and some outdated retirement advice. I'm going to run some of this by Professor Plum and see if he agrees with not only that the suggestion that some of it is outdated, but there are some suggestions in one of these articles I picked up as to what might be a better alternative instead of some of this outdated advice. Maybe we'll agree with it, maybe we won't. So we'll talk about some of that and anything else that's on your mind. 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. So we talked about pension options, pensions, ways to plan around this, but a big part of planning is another pension, which is what you can look at this as, Social Security. One of the biggest questions, besides how do these new laws affect me, and we'll stay away from that for the moment. One of the biggest questions is, how do I know when to take it? Most people know, you take it early, you get a reduction. If you take it before full retirement age, it's reduced. If you take it after full retirement age, you get a
bump. It's increased.
Up. Right. But how do you know? I mean, really, some people say it's just a crapshoot, but it's not.
It kind of is, because life is a crapshoot. How long are you going to live? And how long will that benefit last? Because the benefit may not last just for your lifetime. The benefit may last longer than you do. If yours is the higher benefit of a married couple, your benefit may last longer than you do because your surviving spouse will pick it up. So when we're looking at Social Security, we're looking at how long might the benefit last. But that also goes to the other side, because if yours is the lower of the two Social Security benefits within a marriage, your benefit will only last as long as the shortest life expectancy within the two of you. So depending upon age brackets or age differences, beneficiary amount, there's lots of things that go into the decision, but it is an important decision. Now, we've been told that these aggressive claiming strategies that were taken away from us last November were only for the rich. And the reality was, no, the rich are going to make it either way. They're going to be able to afford to handle it, you know, whether they have a higher, $400 more a month or not from Social Security. Where those claiming strategies really had a large impact were on the middle class and lower income classes, where that extra amount of money over a long life expectancy, if you have that, made a big difference. Unfortunately, they took that away. So now we have to deal with just the basic decisions. How long might this benefit last? Forget coupling it with other ones, because we're not going to be able to do that very well anymore. How long will the benefit last? Do I need to provide for this benefit to make sure that it lasts for more than 13, 14, 15 years and things of that nature? And that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, it really comes down to, you know, it's less, I think, it's less how long will the person taking the benefit last, although longevity plays into it, certainly. It's how long will, is it with a married couple I'm talking about, obviously.
Right.
How long will the actual benefit last? Because what happens in a survivor benefit is that the person who dies with the higher benefit, their benefit will actually continue as a survivor benefit.
How long will that benefit continue to be paid? Whether it's being paid to you or your surviving spouse, the benefit's still being paid. What's the best use, or when's the best time to start that benefit? If it's a short time horizon that the benefit will continue, take it as early as you can get it, unless there's something else that dictates otherwise, like you're still working until 66, 67.
Yeah.
On the other side, if your benefit will continue for a long time, you've got a fairly large disparity in age, a fairly large disparity in benefit amounts, you're waiting until 70 may make the most sense, not necessarily for you, but for your surviving spouse.
Yeah, which may be why, if you have a spouse who is, let's say, a husband who is, you know, lived moderately long, but you have a wife who's a little younger and didn't make as much money as happens in many cases, but could live a long time, 80s, late 80s, 90s, which is why, even if the husband may not be living much past 73, 74, based on family or whatever, it may make more sense for that higher earning spouse, in this case the husband, to wait until age 70,
right,
or as long as possible to take the benefit.
I spoke many times about a friend of mine who says no male in his family's ever made it to 62, so he's taking his benefit at 62, but his decision is a lot easier because his is actually the lower benefit between he and his spouse. His spouse's Social Security benefit is a higher benefit, so him taking it early is basically based on his life expectancy, because his wife has a longer life expectancy, but she also has the larger benefit. So she's expected to take hers later because hers is going to continue a long time. His isn't going to, he doesn't believe, is going to continue all that long because his life expectancy isn't the greatest thing in the world based on family history.
Right. So while it makes sense on the face of it to say, well, let's say I'm the husband, I have the higher benefit, and I'm only going to live to, you know, 73, 74.
Nowhere near the break even. Why should I wait till 70,
right,
when I'm going to die at 73?
So the conventional wisdom is to, well, let's take it early. But I have a spouse who is very likely to live.
Yeah, they're 7 years younger than me.
Yes, and they're going to live a lot longer. They're going to, you know, live into their 90s, perhaps. We don't know. But they're certainly going to outlive me. So you wait and you take the you tell the higher earning spouse, the husband in this case, even though you're likely to be gone at 73, wait till 70 because that benefit will continue for your wife.
It's still a matter of you're not doing this for you in this case. This example that John just laid out, this doesn't benefit you at all because your life expectancy is only 73 in the example we're using. But it will help your spouse a lot. Now, I've seen people say, tough.
Well, you know, I could say if I know I'm going to be gone at 73, I just found out and I'm 67, and I could say, well, I'm just going to take it now. That's fine. Yeah. But know that the surviving spouse is going to be limited to that age 67 benefit or whatever it is that you happen to take.
Right.
So that's what the survivor benefit is based on.
Knowing your options are very important. It's up to you to decide which one to take. And you know, we're not in the camp that deferring always makes sense, unlike some of the things we've seen written.
Right.
One of the biggest mistakes about retirement is taking your Social Security too early. No, it's not necessarily a mistake. As I mentioned before, it may be the right thing to do if yours is the lower benefit and both of you do not have significant longevity or there's a large disparity in age. It may make more sense to take it early because that's the best use of that money. On other times, it does make sense to wait at least for one of them. And in some cases, it makes sense for both of you to wait until 70. It's going to make less sense coming up than it used to with the inability to do the spousal retirement benefits.
But it could. You never know. All right, we're out of time. If you need some help with managing risks in retirement or anything else that we've talked about this hour, you can talk to Professor Plum or any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group, the Brain Trust, we call them. Their off-air number, 800-644-1150. 800-644-1150. Another hour looms of Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.